This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey, welcome everyone. It's Carm Capriotto, Remarkable Results Radio. Good to have you here as always. We so appreciate you as a listener. Couldn't been doing this since 2015 without you. It's just the stuff that comes back to us about all the great topics that we do and the transformative information that we have given to the industry. So bottom of my heart, thank you so much. I am at the 21st annual TST Big Event in Tarryton, New York. Always great to be here with G. Trulia and his entire volunteer TST organization. I don't know, Robert, there's got to be, what, 500 technicians out in the ballroom?
Yeah, pretty close to
it. Yeah. Three great trainers today, breakfast, lunch, keynote speech from Mark Warren, who's retiring, I hear.
Yeah.
And I'm here in the studio with Robert Kenny Jr. I think I've known you on social media for a long time. You were very vocal. And by the way, thank you for participating in the Remarkable Results community. Appreciate that. Knowing you were going to be here, I said, it's about time. We got this person who has had one hell of a career. In fact, he worked for a place as a technician.
Diagnostician.
At Gill's Garage up in Schenectady, right?
Burn Hills.
And I've been there back in the old days. And I used to travel the country and I was in Gill's years ago. You might have even been there when I was there. Who knows?
Remember, if you earn your living in the service aftermarket, then Apex is the expo for you. Continue listening and we'll bring you the latest from Apex 2024. Save the date, November 5th through the 7th, 2024. Hey, did you know that Napa Trax has on-site training plus 6 days a week support? It all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business and how you run it. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Let us prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Find Napa Trax on the web at NAPATRACS.com. Also, thanks to AftermarketManagementNetwork.com for information that can help you move your business ahead and for the free and informative LaborRateTracker.com.
Robert says one day to his boss who trained him and nurtured him, I got to go start my own shop. Tell me the story about what happened.
Well, I'd been in the automotive repair industry for my whole life, basically since I was 14 years old. And like many technicians, I decided, hey, there's one more prophecy I have to fulfill before I retire, and that was to own my own shop. Mike Brewster up at Gill's Garage was fine enough to train me for over 20 years, and I couldn't explain the amount of guilt I had walking in there to tell him, hey, I'm going to take all this fine training you offered me for 20 years and apply it to a different business.
Before we turned on the mic, we were chatting about that old adage that says, if I train them, they leave. And so I'm not going to train them. And then, you know, if they stay. So the business is always better off if you train your people, no matter what their fate is. You and I really want to talk a little bit about retaining technicians and getting them paid right. But we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. And you got trained and you left, but you think back to what Mike Brewster did for you and you're grateful.
Oh, 100%. It wasn't just for what he did for me, it's what he did for the industry.
Yeah.
I was allowed to take that knowledge and take another segment of the industry, albeit a little tiny little shop, but bring in a couple more technicians, give them a job, and do some good things for some good people with their cars.
And think about what you're doing now. You've got a hell of a resume. Not only are you a mobile Diag owner, you're also an instructor. You're involved in Hudson Valley Community College, as well as, you know, Erie Community College back on the other side of the state that I am on the advisory board. You're training. You're helping develop the EV class. You're on fire, man. When do you find time?
I'm a type A personality, as they say. I just go, go, go.
Let's spend a few minutes. I really want to get into why aren't we paying our techs the right way or enough money? Because I think that's something, it's kind of the elephant in the room. Almost all the time, you are so committed to young people's education. I don't think we're doing enough of it in the industry. I don't think we're speaking to the high schools. I don't think as even independents we're going in. The dealers love the community colleges because that's where they're pulling talent from. But then part of the things that I think we want to talk about is that when the people that have been trained through post-secondary education end up leaving the industry or a dealership, or an independent, for some crazy reason, they don't stay. And that's a crime that we've pushed them out of the industry because of the lack of career planning, development, additional training. Just because they went to college doesn't make them an expert. You know that.
No, it gives them the foundation that some of the other technicians may not have to build a better career. That college education just makes them a stronger foundation for the business. But like you stated, they're very likely to leave. There's so many other industries that require somebody that has a mechanical ability. And when they find out we're a good pool to grab that mechanical ability talent from, they go ahead and grab it up. The next thing you know, there's no techs left in the shops.
So you're at the college. I know you're training. I know you have a mobile diag business. I would love to hear about the evolution. You leave Gill's Garage. You start at what? 2-3 bay shop on your very own? God, what a risk. Where'd you get the money?
Actually, believe it or not, your program, somebody talked about a Rob's. I'll roll over for business startup.
Yeah.
I grabbed my 401k out of that, put it into the business, and took off with that.
And how long did you keep the shop?
About 3 years. Same issue everybody else had, grabbing good talent to keep the business going. And it became very busy and very overwhelming in a hurry.
In the Capital District of New York, you were a mobile diag person, mobile technology specialist. Are you really busy?
Yeah. Even with school, can't keep up with it now.
Wow.
I see that as being a little bit of the future in the sense that think about a smaller shop with 2 or 3 techs. It may be difficult for them to pay an A technician to be there doing oil changes all day when there isn't enough diag work for them. So if there isn't enough diag work for them, they're paying an A tech to do an oil change. Why not hire a shop full of B techs and maybe an A minus tech and have mobile diagnosticians come in and take care of that diagnostic work for you?
You're right. Matt Fonzo did an episode with Rich Falco and Isaac Rodell back during the Apex time, last maybe November, December, on the Aftermarket Radio Network. And they were talking about this exact thing. Why pay the big, long dollars for a technology specialist to have on board when the mobile diag person can come in those couple of times a week that you need them?
Yep. And how I work it with my shops is I tell them, look, it's X amount of dollars for the visit. You set me up with multiple diagnoses while I'm here. Obviously, yeah. I'm going to take care of it. We'll do a blanket purchase agreement with that. I have shops that will call me up during the summer when I'm off from the school and say, hey, Monday morning, can we book you Monday mornings from 8 a.m. till noon? And I don't just go in and diagnose those things that are, super difficult to diagnose. Some of it's just like, hey, can you tell us what this noise is? Can you tell us, why this window doesn't work? Just simple things. But while I'm doing that, their guys are over there and they're eating potatoes, putting ball joints in, brakes on, and tie rods and alignments and making the shop money. And if I leave them enough cushion and educate them, hey, this is my fee. That is not what it is to your consumer, your customer. It has to be higher. If you make money paying me to come here, you're going to more likely pay me to come here.
Well, that's a crime to even have to explain that.
Yeah. Most shops don't get it.
You're a sublet.
That's right. It's exactly what I tell them. If you send a cylinder head out to your local Napa store to have it machined and you get it back, do you charge them what Napa charged you or do you mark it up? Well, we mark it up. Same thing. I'm a sublet. Just because I'm a person doesn't mean I'm not an expense for your business. I shouldn't be an expense. I should be something you can make some money off of.
It's a crime. How do you teach, Robert, and do mobile diag, and do all the things that you're doing? I mean, how do you do it?
I love the industry. It's all I do. It drives me every day. If I can do something to make something better.
How many hours are you teaching?
Right now, I actually teach night school too, so we have a certificate program.
You teach day and night?
Yep, so I'm there right now, Monday through Thursday, from 8 in the morning till 9 at night.
So you really can't do mobile diag?
I actually do. I have a good enough rapport with my businesses that they let me come in. Most of them, I have keys or codes to the doors. They're just like, come in and, hey, here's the car. It's going to be over in Joey's Bay. Go ahead and diagnose it and text me in the morning when it needs.
So you're working what, 15 hours a day?
Probably a little more than that.
Wow, that's great work-life balance.
My wife doesn't think so.
I bet you.
Yeah.
But don't let her listen to this.
But the weekends are ours, right? And it's always...
Oh, that's great.
As a technician, right? How many technicians do you know that they go in? It's just how we are. We've all been that way. We fix cars for our bosses all day long, and they either go home and do side work, or they go home and they're building their race car. They're helping their aunt or their uncle do something.
Yeah. You're driven, man.
It's just... We're all that way.
You're like me. I think I could... run the business and be in the studio all day long. But I come up with too many ideas. I don't know. Are you an ideas person?
Yeah.
Yeah, see? I thought so.
Yeah, it never stops. How can I make something better? Why did this fail? What can we do better next time to make it better?
So you had written to me about why are shops not stepping up to the game and offering higher starting pay? I got to tell you, you could get a job working construction tomorrow with no education for $25 an hour.
Oh, yeah. You should see the look on our students' faces. They'll sit there. You know, now is the end of their schooling career this month. And I'll tell them, you know, I'll get to them, hey, what do you think you're going to make when you leave here? And they'll throw a dollar number on them. Like, that's not realistic.
What are they saying?
They're saying $25, $30 an hour.
Okay.
To me, it's realistic. I said, but when you go out the door, don't consider that realistic. And I said, you know, now it goes into the whole pay plan thing. It's like, yep.
So why did I do this if I'm only going to make 18?
That's the look on their faces. Like, why did I just blow 2 years doing this for $18 an hour?
Yeah. Our problem in the industry, and it is pretty bad on the lower, there's top tier operators and we all want to be that. But some of us don't even want to know or figure out how to get there, how to do that. Just listen to all of my shows and you'll figure it out. It's not hard. It's right at the end of your nose.
Yep.
You need help. You need a mentor. You need a coach. You need a consultant. You need somebody to drive you because you haven't demonstrated in the last 15, 20 years that you can run a great business, keep running it as a hobby, and you're only going to try to pay hobbyists to come and work for you.
Yep. You know, one thing I learned in business like pretty quickly is have somebody that's going to hold you accountable. It doesn't need to be a business coach. You can have your best friend say, if I tell you tomorrow I'm going to put this much money away or I'm going to hire a tech by the end of the week, they need to call you up on Thursday. Hey, how are you making out with your hiring process?
There's so many 20 groups and networking groups in local communities. The Napa Business Development Group, for example. One of the problems that I know exists is for us to be able to admit that we don't know, that we've failed a little bit. I think it's very difficult for an individual who has, on the icing side of the cake, looked successful, professional. They can claim 15 years of business, but really they're not making it. And they're having a tough time and they're struggling hiring and or keeping people, buying the latest equipment, dealing with the challenges that come in every day from clients. To be able to sit down to your point, Robert, and say to a fella sitting to the left or right, hey, can you stay after the meeting? I want to chat with you. Do you and I have to put words in people's mouths? Maybe we do. And say, look at Robert, I admire you. You got a successful business. I've been in your shop. You know, we've done a tour there. You've got some really great talent working for you. Can you help me get out of my rut? You can describe the struggle to the success that you want to have and call it a rut. Call it anything you want. And you know what? I bet you that 85% of that ask, you're going to get someone to say, absolutely, I'll help you, Robert.
Yeah. But in my mind, why doesn't it go the other way? Why can't a good shop owner go to a shop and say, hey, I see that, you know, I hear kind of through the grapevine that maybe things aren't so good right now. What can I do to help you?
I know the reason. I know the reason. I tried this a bunch of years ago. I really did. I was talking to people. I says, I'm talking to the top shops. Would you do me a favor and go visit the struggling guy down the road because he's hurting the image of our industry? You know what his place looks like. You can drive by it and know that they're struggling. Walk in and say, hi, Carm, down the road. You know me. We're kind of competitors, but we shouldn't be. Let's have coffee. No, I'm not going to share my secret sauce with you.
Yeah. Well, your secret sauce isn't really.
There is no sauce.
Right.
And there is no secrets. To your point, thank you for bringing this up. We haven't talked about this on the show in a long time. The secret sauce is I can't pay my bills. I can't hire people. I don't know what the word margin means or KPIs. Yeah. I keep hearing about. I'm struggling so bad, but I don't want to admit it.
So many shop owners, and this is a benefit I get of being a mobile diagnostician. I love this part of it because you get to see so many shops and how so many run differently, the cultures in so many different shops. So you can pull a little piece out of that and say, I like what they did here. I like what they did here. You know, another shop might say, hey, you know, I'm struggling a little bit. You got any tips? You say, well, you know, I seen this and it works pretty good for this guy. Long story short, that's a benefit of traveling from shop to shop.
If you went to Apex 2023, then you realize the incredible commitment that Apex has to the service professional shop owner, technician, and service advisor. Joe's Garage is your place to hang out with 10 working bays and real live working conditions. Also, the best tech companies from tools and repair to management software had their latest and greatest on display and demonstrated for you. You also attended technical and business management training with the industry's best and brightest trainers, coaches, and teachers. Work is underway to make next year's Apex 2024 have even more product demos, trending training, marketing, and social media support to help you grow your career, sales, and profits. Remember, if you earn your living in the service aftermarket, then Apex is the expo for you. Continue listening, and we'll bring you the latest from Apex 2024. Save the date, November 5th through the 7th, 2024. Hey, let's face it. Your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NapaTrax has made selecting the right shop management system easy by offering the industry's best, most comprehensive SMS. Now, it all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business and how you need to run it. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. And having local representation is a huge plus. Customizing Trax to your business, whether you're a one-person shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company, a representative consults with you to help optimize your shop's workflow, efficiency, and profitability. Trax always has the flexibility to do business how you need to do it, which means it can also grow as your business grows. And unlike the other guys, we'll be there for you after installation with the best training and support in the business. Yes, a learning management system tailored to each role in your company. Simply put, Trax was designed and built for shop owners just like you. Visit us on the web at NapaTrax, that's NapaTrax.com. Hey, ever wonder how your labor rate compares to your market and state? You now have a site where you can confidentially upload your rate and see other labor rates published in your market. LaborRateTracker.com is an important site to know about. Currently, the database has over 1,000 shops participating and growing every day. But there's more to setting your rates than finding out what others charge. You should look at the labor rates in your state and town to gain a complete picture of the labor rate landscape. Hey, it's easy. Get market intelligence like never before at LaborRateTracker.com.
I always tell people that if you want to steal an idea from someone, hey, tell me, I love that idea.
Yep.
Wow, is that great. Can I have that? And people will, 90% of people will always say, probably 98%, sure, no problem. Tell me more. Okay, I write it down. I come back to my place and I implement your idea. Number one, first, be sure you get team buy-in to do that. Just don't force new ideas on people because they're, oh God, Carm went to a conference and he's coming back and we're going to have to change. Hey, I came back from a conference. I got these great ideas. Let me float them by you. Let's talk about it next meeting. People start incubating the ideas. We says, listen, it's not perfect, but we need to think through how does it fit in our company. You're all on board. Once you implement someone else's idea inside of your environment, your culture, with your people, it takes on a completely different flavor.
Yeah, 100%. Especially if you get the buy-in from them, right? Just like you said, and tell them, you know, hey, we're going to try this. I'm going to ask you for your feedback in 4 weeks at our next monthly meeting. If you feel it's not working, either come up with a suggestion we can do to make it work, or we'll just quash the whole thing and try something else. But this is an area that we're struggling in, and we may need to make an improvement here for everybody.
You wrote to me, and you say, people sit there, they complain how poor the help is that they hire, but if you're offering low pay, you want Mario Andretti for dirt track driver money.
Yep.
It's a great analogy.
Yeah, it's an automotive analogy, right? But it's they do. It's like they expect a technician to come in for $18 an hour and be an A-tech, especially right out of school. Grant, those guys have a foundation, but they don't have the years of knowledge that a shop owner might have or the lead technician in the shop. But if they have the hunger to learn, they should be getting paid more than the least useful guy in the shop.
So what are we doing at college to teach our young people that are about to graduate to do a good interview?
We actually have a career fair. We just had it last week. We talk about that before the career fair. Come up and present yourself properly. We're not going to talk in shop talk to the owners. We're going to talk in educated talk. Hey, this is what I learned at college. I think I can take some of these skills and they may be a benefit to your business.
Are we also teaching them to ask the shop owner? So tell me about your training, commitment to training. Because I have 2 years of basic training. It's kind of like, wait a minute, if you want to go be a tank mechanic, you still have to take basic training in the Army, and then they send you to the real school.
Right.
And the real school is out in the real world. And if I was an instructor or I spoke to any young people, I'd say, you're in basic training, and you want to find out how does the employer that I'm going to go to work for continue my training? And if you're going to go to work for a place where all that you learned at the community college is frozen and all you want me to do is do maintenance work, maybe a brake job or two that you trust me have a mentor help me. You've got to go to 40, 50 hours of training a year, and I'm going to pay for that. That's why I'm paying you what I'm paying you, because you have to show me this commitment. I'm not paying you 18, maybe even 25, maybe I'm paying you 30 bucks. I mean, 25 bucks is what, around 50 some thousand dollars, right?
Right.
And you got to have benefits. How can an individual come to work for you for $18? He starts with you day one, and day two, he continues to look for job opportunities because you have not outlined a career path. You have not outlined in so many months, we start paying your benefits that, oh, by the way, you may not appreciate what a 401k is, but we're going to work that with you. We're going to teach it to you. Where's the excitement that makes me think of my future working for your company? And it's not 18, and it's not no training, and it's not no benefits.
No, that's 100% true. What makes it fun to come to work every day? And that's what I kind of tell the students, you know, hey, when you go for your job interview, you're going to talk to the people at the career fair. They're going to invite you into a job interview. When you go to that interview, interview them as much as they interview you. And they look at me like, what? Ask the shop owner to take you for a walk through the shop. If all the technicians are over there banging on their toolbox and, you know, using foul language in every which direction, they're not happy where they are.
Yeah.
That's not a happy shop. Go into a shop where the guys are, you know, teasing each other and they're laughing back and forth. And you can tell there's a clear respect from the owner. Hey, can you please put this brake drum on? You know, hey, Jim, you know, remember we got that training coming up tonight. Listen for things like that. Ask them, you know, what are my advancement opportunities here?
Exactly right.
What training opportunities? What do you expect me to train for? Yeah.
A caveat to my listener, I'm not ranting on you.
Yeah, exactly.
you've heard me do this before, but so much of what I love to do as I speak to everyone in the industry, but you know, a lot of our listeners are top tier. Your job is to pass this episode along, is to, you know, forward this through all the forwarding connections that we have to friends. We all know struggling shop owners. We all know them. We all know people that are on their way, but they also need another kick in the pants to get to the next step. We all do. I don't care what it is. If I'm going to get ready to chop a pile of wood, okay, I feel great today. It's a Saturday morning. It's sunny. I've had my coffee. Let's go out. And then all of a sudden you say, I've only done 10 logs and I got to do 50. How do I get my energy for the next thing? And it's all upstairs. It's a mind game. Unless you're physically not fit. The point of it is that you've got to push. It, just about anything you do, you have to push.
Yeah, but there's rewards on the other side of that push.
Yeah.
The guys that don't push don't get the rewards. Yeah. And it's the same with the technicians, right? We're talking about the shop owners, but think about a technician. You are working in that great shop. You do have an owner that says, here is your training opportunities. You don't take advantage of those. What's that say to the owner?
Yeah.
Why should I pay this technician more money? And then the next thing you know, the tech's, well, how come I'm only making this money 5 years later?
Robert, can we hire dealership technicians?
Yes. It's difficult.
Why?
To clean shop. So here's the thing, and I don't want to beat up on the dealers because we have a good relationship with them with the college.
Sure we do.
But they sometimes promise more than they deliver. So, and everybody hawks on the, oh, it's flat rate, The shop that I worked in was flat rate for some of the techs, the independent shop. And then the dealers, as we know, are 90% flat rate. Flat rate eats up young technicians because they don't have the experience to figure out how to get through that 3 hour job in an hour and a half. Next thing you know, they're like, oh, well, my $20 an hour now just became $8 an hour because I can't get through the job fast enough. The independent shop that was flat rate actually tasked the employee to their skill set. So they were set up for success.
Yeah.
You know, if you take the engine guy and say, hey, you're our fantastic engine guy, what do you think about flat rate? That's a benefit for both. You know, the engine guy does engines well. And that's what he wants to do. He's set up for success. A dealer, in my eyes, doesn't always do that. It's what are you going to do to benefit the dealer? It's like, we don't necessarily need you to benefit so much. I need to do enough to keep you here so I don't have to keep looking for employees and retraining them. But I don't need to reward you. An independent shop, you seem to get that mom and pop feel where it's like, hey, you're not only my engine guy, you're also Kenny. You're a family member. Yeah. You have a name.
You told me that you work with SAE.
I do. We have a bunch of workshop groups. As you know, all the standards that come out to keep vehicles safe on the road have workshop groups that develop those. And one of the several development groups I'm on is the for electric vehicle charging systems. Our school specializes in actually electric vehicle supply equipment and the vehicle charging end and the grid end of it. That's kind of my strong point. So I work with SAE on work groups to set forth the next group of standards for electric vehicle charging systems.
I asked Robert earlier before we turned on the mics, since I'm involved with Erie Community College's board advisory committee, why is your curriculum different than ours? And we're changing ours. And do we have AOS degrees and AAS degrees? And he says, we're all a little different. We're all evolving. It's great to see that you are their EV guy. That's cool. There's a few colleges, they saw the future. There's this curriculum change that we've had to go through, and it's amazing in New York State what you have to do to get the stuff approved.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
We were one of the most important skilled trades ever.
Yep.
And I really mean that. I'm not taking it away from plumbers and carpenters, and it's that vehicle. Every single day, there's new technology being birthed somewhere in the world about, oh, we can do this, and what about this, and the center stack here, and the EV cars, and this kind of, and the battery. Every day. We can't keep up with it.
No.
It is the most advanced skilled trade that there is, yet Hollywood says we're just wrenches.
Yeah.
And we're dirty, and we're ugly, and we're filthy, and it is no career to have. And it is so wrong. We've got to fight this.
Yeah. It doesn't need to be dirty and filthy anymore. I'll tell you what, you work on electric vehicles, there's very little of that dirt and filth. It's very technologically advanced. I think that the industry, when they become more popular, and let me clear up something right now. I'm not the EV guy that's, an EV guy that's going to pound it down your throat that's what you need to drive and own. I appreciate them for what they are. I like them. I think we'd adopt them a lot more if the government didn't ram them down people's throats. But I also feel that it is the future. And if we want to adopt the future and have your shop set up for a future to be successful, you need to adopt that electric vehicles are not going anywhere. Yes, they're not the long-term solution, but they are the short-term solution for our generation of career technicians. So adopt it. And the early adopters are going to have a greater skill set than the ones that adopt it too late.
A couple of last words here for you, Robert. What would you tell a shop owner who has just not sent someone to training in over a year, what they're doing to their business?
Why are you calling me, right? If I'm in there for mobile tech, I'm like, this job that you have me doing, he may have figured that out for you without calling me in. And that $200 class that you could have sent him to, you just paid me and it didn't stay in your building.
Yeah, but I don't want to buy the equipment or the subscriptions.
You're going to have to.
See, again, this is a great argument to have. We should probably do some shows on it, that I should have a technology specialist on staff, or I should hire a mobile technology specialist to come in. It's a great, great story. I do know that the top tier shops all have technology specialists
100%.
On board. 100%. They're there. But in the meantime, as you're growing your business and getting there, using a mobile, in fact, I did an episode with Rich Falco and his two sons. It's about succession. He's a trainer for CTI, and he's got this great mobile business, and he's got twin sons. Just brought him on board, and I wanted to do an episode to find out. So tell me, Dad, sons, Zach and Tyler? Zach and Tyler and Rich. You'll hear that episode coming up soon. It's very interesting. He's in from Tampa, and he says, Carm, he says, the mobile diag business is getting pretty competitive down here.
Oh, yeah, I see it. So we're going to have a concern with that, because just as there's shops doing inferior work, I think we're going to have people see that the mobile diag business can be somewhat fruitful, and we're going to have less than qualified candidates performing those diagnoses. And what's that going to do for the reputation for the rest of us? That opens up a whole new window. What do? Do we shun them away? Do we take them to training to try to make them better? Do they ask for training? Do they try to get better? Do they ask the successful mobile tech that's been doing it for 20 years, hey, I'm making money, but what can I do this better? Or do they continue to say, I'm so much better than you are, I don't need your help?
You got ADAS on your truck?
Yes.
Oh, really? Are you doing ADAS calibrations?
I do. I don't have the equipment, so I have a setup with another shop.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, that's cool.
It is.
You know what? That's something I didn't think about. A shop that has a, stationary ADAS system can invite mobile DIA guys to come in and bring their sublet.
Yep. And it's a, it's a typical old barter thing. Hey, we'll do this and I'll help you out with some of your diagnosis things. And
sure,
it's a good relationship.
Interesting industry that we're in. Thank you so much for all that you're doing on the education side. I'm not sure as an industry we respect and or appreciate our trainers or our educators enough. And it's not that we don't care for them. We just don't know enough about what's going on with education.
You're right. And I'm not trying to blow my own horn, but I'll be honest with you. I took this job at the college as a, hey, I've always wanted to do instruction. Yeah. I want to do what I can to make the business better. I've never worked harder in my life than I work at the college, especially with a new program. There is nothing in place. It's like every day it's build labs, build the classroom material.
Yeah.
You know, 8 hours of work goes into building an hour worth of class.
Yeah, I know. So I do totally respect what's going on. And in fact, let me share with you a crazy idea. At our last advisory board meeting, our chairman said something so profound. I wrote it down and I want to start asking this in our shows. He said to the board, he said, I think I'm going to get a driver education class here so that our students can learn to drive. And I'm sitting there saying, how many don't?
Yeah.
And see, Robert's smiling. And so this was brilliant of him to say, you know how many kids don't have their license today? They just don't care. They don't even have the money to buy a vehicle. And he says, how do we prepare them to actually have a job someday if they can't drive to it?
Yep. I grew up in the 70s. I started in the industry in the 80s. It's like a lean car. We didn't have a tool to tell you the car was running lean. You drove the car, you stepped on the throttle, went, boom. You go, it's lean. You go back and you fix it. They don't have that. They've never driven a car.
Right. To the point, if you're going to go to work for a shop and you have to test drive anything in your future, you've got to be able to figure out how to drive. And I thought, Vinny, God bless you for coming up with this idea, but I had to run it by you. And
yeah,
you
that's
say,
fantastic.
Yeah.
Get so, stick shift cars, though.
Oh, my God. I just heard a funny story. We were driving down to dinner last night and someone said, I'd hate to be stuck in traffic here in New York with a stick shift.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's so funny. But okay, so anyone who's listening to this, please go to your advisory board or shake some trees about getting driver training class at the college. So figure out how to do that, because I personally did not have a clue how many people were graduating that still don't have a license.
Yeah, it's just that generation. My nephew, 20 years old before he decided I want to get my license. It's like, really?
Amazing.
I couldn't wait.
I know. It's got to flip. It's got to change.
Because
for me, Robert, and probably like you and even you, Tracy, a license is freedom.
Yep. Go where I want, do what I want. And it just, you don't have to ask somebody for something.
Wow. I love this interview. Robert, Mobile Diag, Amped Auto Industry instructor at Hudson Valley, all kinds of training, EV training, a certificate program at the college. All around nice guy, worked at Gills. Nice. I remember that place years ago. Cut your teeth there. How many years were you there?
20.
20 years. Well, God bless you. You also told me that Bronx now has an EV class, the Bronx Community College.
Yep, working on it.
Here in New York. So cool. It's our future. We got to do it. Robert Kenny Jr., thanks for being on.
No problem. Thank you, Carm. My pleasure.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.